This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
What's up, everybody? So I feel like after that Kicks for Kids spiel, like, what do I have to say, right? I mean, that's all the preaching we need. I tell everybody all the time, and you guys think I'm playing, Shelly's the best preacher in our house. Like, I'm not even the best preacher in my house, and I'm the pastor. So it's really unfortunate when you live in the shadow of someone who's so talented. You know, she can sing and preach, and I can sing and preach, but neither of them are very good. So it is what it is. Hey, so we're so glad you guys are here with us this Sunday, the best hour of your week. Probably we're a little heavier today than we were last Sunday, I would imagine. And if you ain't, you didn't do it right. That's just all there is to it. So we actually are having a potluck after church, so we would love for you guys to stay around, stick around, hang out. Food is good. People are better, right? The company's great, but the food is really good, too. Because, look, I mean, I love people, but the food's got to be right, too. Right, everybody good with that? Like, I mean, people are important, but so is food, okay? And you get them both right, win-win, dub-dub. So we've been in a series called Options, and we've kind of been talking about some of the choices that we get to make, some of the things that we're faced with where we have to decide, make a decision between this or that, one or the other. And we've been looking from the perspective, you know, as followers of Jesus, and that's really where it started, right? The option that we have to follow him. You go back to the story where Jesus invited Simon, Peter, and Andrew, and he's like, hey, you guys, y'all should follow me. He gave them an invitation, and with any invitation, you have an option to accept or decline, right? So that's your option, and that's where it begins for us. And then we talked about choosing between life and death. Seems obvious, but it's sad and embarrassing and really just a disappointment upon the human race that many of us still choose death, right? And not death in the sense that, like, everybody's killing everybody, but the way we talked about your mentality. A lot of people are just so dadgum negative, they kill things before they ever even have a chance to be killed, right? They kill things before they ever have a chance to live and breathe and move, and they just immediately kill it with all that negativity. So your mentality is the way that you kill things. Your attitude. Now, I know none of us in here ever struggle with a bad attitude. It's not a bad attitude. I'm just edgy, okay? A little different. But we can have just death in our attitude. I had my pastor used to say, like, you know, we talk all the time about, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And he's like, well, your heart needs to notify your face that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Like, if you're scowling all the time, maybe something's wrong with you, right? And so we talked about choosing between life and death, obviously. And then last week we talked about the difference between gratitude and taking for granted. Right. Again, one of these things that we know we're not supposed to take things or people or opportunities for granted. We're not supposed to take God for granted. We're not supposed to take grace for granted. And yet we still kind of find ourselves falling into that at times. And it's choosing gratitude over and over and over to be grateful for the things that we have, the people that God has put in our life, for God and his grace towards us that we do not deserve. Right. And so we're so thankful for that. So this week, and those are kind of easy options, right? You want life or do you want death? I'm going to go over here. Seems a little better on this side of it. Gratitude or taking for granted. Like, I think most people would be like, I want to be a person who is grateful and not a spoiled, rotten little brat. Right? So those are easy options. Today, we're going to look at things that are not necessarily on opposite ends of the spectrum, but they're kind of on the same side of the ledger, but you still have to choose sometimes between good and great. Like, there's things that work out like that sometimes. It's the difference between, you know, what is suffice, what will do, what is easier sometimes and good, or what is great that may take some sacrifice and some work. So the option today is to choose between joy and happiness. Joy or happiness. And you know what's interesting? Now, I think a lot of people kind of use these terms ignorantly, and I don't mean that disrespectfully at all. I think people just throw out the word happiness kind of as this umbrella explaining and expressing all of these good feelings that we have. And I think happiness is more specific than that. And I think joy is also very specific. And we'll kind of get into all of this because I think I'm just kind of over the happiness thing. Can we be honest? Like, everybody's like, I just want to be happy. I'm like, well, you were happy 3 seconds ago. What happened? Right? Now you're not happy, and I can't keep up with your happiness or your unhappiness. Like, there needs to be some stability. You need to be stable is what you need to be. You don't need to be happy. You need to be stable, right? And we're always trying to treat symptoms, too, right? So we're always trying to treat the symptom, and happiness is like that. It's fleeting, and it's one of those things we have to, I'll get there. I get so far ahead of myself sometimes. So I think in this particular case, happiness is not a bad thing. I'm not saying that happiness is not good. I'm just saying that happiness is not great. I think that joy is greater. I think it's sustainable. I think it's something that we can actually hang our hat on, and I think there's a significant difference between that. And isn't life like that sometimes, where you give up good things that are easy for things that are great, that are lasting and sustaining and fulfilling, right? It's not just this, but I think there's so many parts of our life like that. So let's look at some of the differences between joy and happiness. I've got three statements. Can everybody bear with me for three statements about happiness and joy? This is a good time to say that's good, Piesta. I'm not begging. I might. I understand. So point one, here it is. Happiness is an emotion. Joy is a state of being. Happiness is an emotion. Joy is a state of being. You know that happiness is a short-lived feeling that requires a catalyst, right? Happiness, it's something, in fact, I mean, even down to a physical, natural, and chemical level, what happiness is, it is a chemical-induced feeling based on some external stimulus, right? Something happens to us, our mind perceives it as good, it releases a chemical. You've got your four feel-good chemicals, oxytocin, serotonin, dopamine, and what's the other one? Where's my nurse people at? Endorphins. There we go. The runner's high. That's a joke. That's a lie. It's a runner's lie is what it is. It's not a runner's high. And so you've got your four feel-good chemicals, and they're all responses to external stimulus, right? Things that happen to us, and we're like, oh, this is good, and we feel good for about 30 seconds, and then something bad happens, and then that happiness feeling is gone, right? So happiness, just based on the fact that it is a feeling and a response to something that happens around us, means that it is fleeting, that it is passing, that it is not forever, and it's not sustainable, right? That's one of the things about happiness. And there are a lot of things that make us, there are a lot of things that make me happy personally. Steak would be one. Not like number one, maybe, I don't know. Steak, coffee, football, like all these really, like these things make me happy, but if it can make you happy, it can also make you really disappointed. Football, right? Like, so all of these things that can make us happy can also take that happiness away. So you see just kind of the structure of the formula is such that what is given can be taken away. So you shouldn't invest a lot of your energy and your foundational beliefs about who you are and what you are and what you're here for in happiness, right? That stuff, it's passing, it's fleeting, and so it's not sustainable, right? I think there's a guy named Solomon who is considered the richest and wisest, wealthiest and wisest man in the world. Not a bad combo, right? So, and you find what's so fascinating about Solomon is like, he obviously you get a lot of the Proverbs from Solomon and all these wisdom statements and truths, but then you also get the book of Ecclesiastes, which to me, if you've read the book of Ecclesiastes, you kind of see that he fully understood. I think he was struggling with some of the frustrations that there isn't satisfaction and fulfillment in all of the things around us, even though maybe we think that there should be, and you kind of get the output of that. And this is what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And I really just like the way he says this. Futility of futilities, says the preacher. He calls himself the preacher. Pretty cool. Futility of futilities, says the preacher. Futility of futilities. He repeats it. All is futility. What advantage does a person have in all his work which he does under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. Everything that is around us will pass us, right? Everything, it's going to pass through you, by you. You will leave. It will stay. At any rate, it will change. You will change. It's not stable. It's not secure. It's volatile. So we don't put our trust and our worth in things or situations or anything that's really temporal, right? Do you see the difference? Does that kind of make sense? And I like the way that he even goes to things that are actually good. Like, I believe that work is good. I believe that what you are building with your career and what you're investing yourself in and what you're leaving, that is good, But even that, I was thinking about this the other day. I had a friend who was an incredibly like bright, intellectual, hardworking dude. And so he got involved with this company, and they sent him all over the place. And he would just up his life and move for this company for 2 years. And then he would go somewhere else for 2 years. And he would help build each of these different locations. And in one day, they just fired him. They're like, we're moving on. And it's just a solid reminder that this ain't it, right? Work hard, and that's important, and what you leave matters, but this is not it. And if you put all of your belief about who you are and stuff like that, you're going to end up extremely disappointed. Joy, on the other hand, it comes from one place and one place only. I think that joy is a gift from God. It is a divine gift that he gives us that comes as a result of understanding our divine destination. This is not it. This is a tent. This thing that you're living in, your body is just a tent. It is temporary. We are built for more. We're built for something else. We've got this home that is awaiting us. Jesus said this crazy little thing. He's like, hey, I'm going to leave, but it's okay because I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And I said it is, so it is. And so for us, we just have to remember that this is not everything. And sometimes, as much as I know we know that, we don't live like we know that. We get so bothered by everything that's going on around us. I think sometimes people just want you to be disappointed in something bad. They're like, aren't you sad? I'm like, I'm disappointed. I'm bothered. But this doesn't really matter all that much. This isn't everything to me. Right? You see the difference? Okay. So joy is a gift. And I think God is the giver of those gifts. It says in the book of James that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Right? So I believe that. And I also do not believe that God is an Indian giver. I don't think God is in the business of giving gifts and taking those gifts back. Now, sometimes we will forfeit our joy, but God is not going to take your joy. God gives it. It's up to us to protect it, to guard it. It's much deeper than surface level feelings, right? It's much deeper than again, being affected by the external stimulus and things going on around us. And good situations and good relationships and good food and good entertainment. It's so much more than that because joy is down in our hearts. Where? Okay, guys, I was worried that was going to be too elementary and you guys are so sophisticated that it wasn't going to work. Down in our hearts. Okay, that's good. Oh, my people. And here's the thing. If something's in your heart, it's a lot harder to get out. It's a lot harder to extract. The deeper it gets, the harder it is to remove from you. And so we've just got to let joy get deep in our hearts, deep into the way that we live, the way that we think, the way that we process information. Joy has to become part of who we are. This does not mean, and I think this is a really important distinction, I think we've made this point before, like being joyful doesn't mean you're a cheerleader. You know what I'm saying? I think, in fact, joy, I think, bring it down a notch. Joy is subdued, right? Joy is like just this thing about you. It's your shine. It's your glow. It's this comfort in adversity. It's this peace when things aren't very, very good. You just have this stability. It's, I always think of it as like a steel in your spine. It's the ability to stand up straight even though things around you are crooked, right? So it doesn't have to be permanent. It doesn't have to be fake or artificial or just like this over-the-top infectiousness, which is fine if that's you. But just let it naturally be expressed. Like, don't try to make it something that it's not. Okay? Okay. 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 It's terrible, right? So joy can't be removed if it gets in deep like it's supposed to. It isn't affected by the winds of life or the volatility that feelings bring about, right? So that's the first point. We move quickly, right? First point. Is it happiness is an emotion? Joy is a state of being. Point number two, for those of you who are taking notes, I don't see any hands, pens moving. Okay. Point number two, you're making mental notes, check, which we remember about 3% of the things that I'm so bad. You guys, like, so I'll, for example, phone, keys, wallet. I will set one of them down in a location, and I'm like, I put my phone there, mental note. 10 minutes later, where is my phone? Anybody else do that? And then I'm so petty. I'm like, who took my phone? One of my children took my, and I blame them for everything. They're tough. They have to be, right? Point number two, happiness is from below, joy is from above. Again, this is kind of a reiteration. It's kind of a continuation of the same idea. And that's not to say that joy is from below, right? Not from hell. Like, again, happiness is not a bad thing. Happiness is a good thing. But it's ultimately about the things that are here on the earth, and those things bring about happiness. And that's good. Happiness, being an emotion, is stirred by many things. And I think we're emotional beings. I think that God created us that way. I think it's part of the created order. So just imagine how bland and vanilla and boring life would be if we had one emotion. That would be awful. What would be really, I guess, would be kind of fun. I mean, if we're playing this game, it would be kind of fun if we all only had one emotion, but everybody's emotion was different. Like, so somebody is only happy all of the time. Somebody's only sad. It's kind of like, what's the Inside Out Pixar movie? Yeah. Which, by the way, Shelley is joy, 100%. Like, and I'm the red, angry, fiery guy. I'm just like, abort, abort. It's funny. All right. So we are emotional, and God made us this way. God created us with emotions to understand kind of the fullness of life and the ups and the downs and the highs and the lows and everything that's in between. So there are many things around us that can lead to happiness, but that ultimately comes from below. It's part of, again, the created order. I think God made it this way for us to enjoy life. God didn't just send us to, this isn't just kind of a temporary holding place of suffering. Right, there's also good that takes place here, and there's things that we get to experience here that prepare us for where we're going. So this is supposed to be good and enjoyable and pleasurable, but ultimately, this isn't everything. Do you guys understand, see the distinction? So joy, on the other hand, is something that we receive from God. It is from above. I believe it's a divine gift, like we said, that comes as a result of understanding our divine destination. This is temporary. Where we're going is eternal. It's called eternal life for a reason, right? John 3:16, that if we believe in him, you know, that we'll have eternal life, right? That's where we're going. That is our destination. That's ultimately what we are not pursuing. We're pursuing God, but a result of that is eternal life. Do you see the difference? There's a direct correlation, in my opinion, between, again, kind of understanding the brevity of our physical life, that this, if you're lucky, you know, what's the average lifespan? Obviously, men, lifespan shorter than women, and we know there are several factors that contribute to that. Most of them because we do some dumb stuff. In fact, you know it's bad when you make statements like while you're doing something, and you're like, and this is why women live longer than men. And I've said that no less than 3,000 times in my life, right? Just do some really dumb things. So life is, it's temporary, and I think that's kind of, it points to the fact that happiness is temporary. Being with Jesus in heaven for eternity, that is eternal, right? Which kind of points to joy. I see some correlations. Happiness is temporary, so is life. Eternal life is eternal. Joy is sustainable. It's lasting. It's something that goes beyond just kind of, again, the things that affect it and change it and alter it. So Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says this. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above. Okay, that was a good time to fill in the blank. We're going to try it. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Joy comes from above, and I believe that happiness comes from the earthly things, which, again, not necessarily bad, not inherently bad, but it's not everything that we're looking for. And I think that's where so many people end up frustrated with life, and so many people end up just disappointed. You meet people who are disappointed with their life, that is sad. That is such a sad thing to see, but I think a lot of times that it comes from looking for satisfaction and contentment in things that were never intended to provide that for you. For example, like relationships. Some of y'all are looking for a man that's going to make you feel you complete me. Honey, Jesus is the only thing that will ever complete you. That's it. And I'm just, can I help? And listen, let me help you out. Can I do this? This is free marital advice. You guys know I suck at counseling, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. So if it is so unfair to put that pressure on somebody else. Like, that is so far above their pay grade. They are absolutely incapable of completing you and giving you perpetual happiness. Should we be satisfied in our relationships? 100%. Is there pleasure? There's great pleasure in our relationships, 100%. But that is not their, that is out of their wheelhouse. That is not in their ability. That is not what they were created for. That relationship that you're looking for, you're desiring the satisfaction and contentment, that comes from one place and one place only. That is a gift from God as a result of knowing him. Let's go back to it. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above where Christ is. That's where it comes from. It comes from Jesus and Jesus alone. Point number three. Okay, that was free advice, free marital advice or relationship advice. Point number three, happiness is circumstantial. Joy is transcendent. Again, I understand a lot of, there's overlapping, right? But I think there are enough distinctions here to make the point. So happiness is based on things that happen to us. Joy is unaffected by things that happen to us. I'm gonna say it one more time, maybe just a little different way so that I know that we all got what I was trying to say. Joy, it requires something. I'm sorry, happiness requires something to happen to us so that we can feel happy. Joy, it doesn't matter what happens to us. We are unaffected. We're not changed. We're not altered for good or bad. When we have joy, doesn't matter what goes on around us. Happiness requires it. Joy don't need it. It gives the stiff arm. Doesn't need it. And I think Jesus is really the perfect example of this. Like when you look at his life, like not everything was perfect in Jesus' life. And I'm so thankful for that. Aren't you? Like when you read the life and story of Jesus, like how it would be so much harder to relate. It would be so much more difficult to understand and sympathize as we expect him to sympathize with us if he didn't ever struggle or didn't ever suffer or didn't go through things. But he did, and I'm thankful for that. So when Jesus went to the cross and he dealt with everything and all the stuff that led up to that, it says in the book of Isaiah that he was a man of sorrows who was acquainted with grief. He was a friend of grief because he dealt with so much of it. He experienced so much of it. You think about the fact that like one of his best friends, one of his homies, one of his ride or dies is the one that sold him for 30 pieces of coin, right? 30 and betrayed him to the point of death and then kissed him on the cheek. I'm like, fool? Right? Think about that for a minute. Like this dude, just one of your buddies, like this dude's been rolling with you for 3 years every night and every day, and you traveled the world together, and this dude just sold you and is going to come kiss you on the cheek. Think about the betrayal in that, the hurt in that, the rejection by his countrymen, the people that he was trying to reach and love and save. They ultimately, many of them rejected him. It's not the most idea of situations. If Jesus was looking for happiness and the things going on around him don't lead to happiness, Jesus would not have been happy. But Jesus was fully understood, obviously, that it's more about happiness, it's about joy. So then you find this, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him," think about the juxtaposition, is that the proper term here? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The cross is nothing to enjoy. The cross, again, like the most unbearable suffering, people who were experts in torture came up with the cross. It was the most critical, difficult, arduous form of punishment they could possibly come up with, and there is no joy in going through the cross, especially if, again, situational, things going on around you, things happening to you, there would be no joy in that, but joy is transcendent, joy is bigger than what's going on around you. So for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's so good. And what a solid reminder for us that, man, if Jesus can go through all of that and still have joy, we can go through our stuff and still have joy. We can go through our little hiccup. And that's not to diminish your struggles, but let's be honest. Most of the time, our struggles, like they're big to us, right? Because I do this. Let me just make it personal. I'm not going to project. I'm not going to act like what you're going through is not significant. But there are times where, like, things that frustrate me, I kind of step back and I'm like, that is really immature that I'm letting that especially when you get to the other side of it, you look back and you're like, how embarrassing that I let that bother me. I let this person and their actions bother me as much as I let it bother me. I let this struggle or adversity bother me as much as I let it. So if Jesus can go through all of the things that he went through and still have joy, we can go through all the things that we go through and we can still have joy, but you got to choose it. It's a choice. You've got to choose joy. You can keep looking for happiness, and we're going to have this conversation over and over and over and over because, man, that's just not what this is about. And look, I'm gonna kind of buck the trends, and I'm going to go against psychology today and all these things that tell you where you can find your happiness and all these things that you should do that will lead you to be happy and floating on clouds. Right? Like, happiness is fun, but happiness is fleeting. I would much rather have joy. I want to have something, again, sustainable, lasting, unaffected by things. Like, if it's a good day, that's great. I still have joy. If it's a bad day, that's fine too. I've still got joy. It is unchanged by the things that happen to us, around us, the people that we encounter, the things that they do. Again, we know all this stuff. We know it. We just have to choose it. It's not limited just to Jesus kind of being in this elevated state of being called joy. It's an invitation that he's extended to us to experience it as well. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it says this, consider it, and I'll be honest, I'm really bad about starting verses and stopping, and the people in the back go nuts, right? They're like, we don't know when to switch. Sorry, y'all. Consider it all joy, my brethren. I love that part. When you encounter various trials. I have always struggled with this, like, you read that, and I'm like, hold up. Like, okay, look, I can go through stuff, but I'm probably going to have a bad attitude about it, right? I'm going to go through it, and I'm going to, you know, sometimes when, like, I have to be angry to be really productive. Is anybody, y'all know that feeling? Like, you just got to get mad before you really do something. So I'll go through it, but joy is not normally my default reaction or response. And so I've always struggled with this, but I think ultimately this is the best option. It's the best way forward. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. It's, again, we attach a reward, a result, an outcome to having joy. I think it helps us to have joy because we understand what we go through. It's never just about what we go through. It's ultimately about where we're going, right? Sometimes you got to go through to go to. Let's talk about application. How are we going to do this? How do we choose joy? So again, happiness is not a bad thing. Like, man, if things make you happy, that's incredible. Like, do things that make you happy. I think that is important. But those things aren't everything. They're something, but they ain't everything. You tracking? Like, it's something. It's important. Like, it's noteworthy, but it's not everything. Joy, on the other hand, is everything. I think about some of the other things that make me happy. Like, a good meal? Boy, that makes me happy. Good company. I love people that you can talk to. Like, I won't name names, but I love people who have just like different ideas, like conspiracy theory type ideas. And just, you know, like, I just love talking to people with just like all of the different crazy things that we think. And like, could it be, you know, like, good company. That stuff should make you happy. I think the satisfaction and reward of effort, I think working hard and seeing the payoff of that should make you happy. And all of that stuff is good, but it's not everything. It's something, but it's not everything. Joy, on the other hand, it's a fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Shelly taught me a song. Listen, you guys, y'all got all the kids' songs when you grew up in church. I didn't really grow up like that. So Shelly had to teach me that the fruit of the Spirit is not a coconut. And I really needed the extra head knocking because got to get some things right. So joy, it's a fruit of the Spirit, and it's obtained by allowing God to work in our lives. It is a gift that he gives us, but we have to accept the gift and allow him to work in our lives. And that work is a deep work that gets into your heart and into your mind. And once it gets in there, it cannot be extracted. It doesn't get taken away. So that's what we have to do with joy, is we have to allow it to get into our hearts. It's got to be deep. It's got to be deep-seated. It's got to be something. Because again, the deeper it gets, the more layered it is, the more protected it is from everything that's around it. It is unaffected. And once that work is done, like the temporal and the situational things and the things that happen to us and the things that are going on around us, they just don't affect us the same way because we have a bigger perspective. You ever met somebody that is just so narrow-minded and narrow-focused, like, and they're hyper-focused on their problem, where if you took a step, it's like the old, it's kind of the stupid illustration. It's like you got this dude that's just banging on a wall, and he is so focused on that portion of the wall, and he's just banging on the wall, hoping to get to the other side. But if he would step back, there's a door that he would see, and he could walk through the door to get to the other side. I think joy is like that. It just gives us some perspective. We see things a little bit differently. We don't see everything, but we see more. Like it widens our view, our angle of field. So I think once this perspective is gained, it just changes things. And I think that that perspective is gained, or at the very least enhanced, by the company that you keep. Like and it's so funny because we understand this in so many other aspects of life. It's like you are the sum total of the five closest people to you. Like you hear these things in business, right? Like you will be in 10 years, you will be the books you read and the people you meet. We understand the power of influence. We understand how important it is in relation to the company that we keep. But sometimes I think we forget when it comes to joy, it's also very important to have those kinds of people in our life too, right? People who are importing joy into our life, and they're pouring joy into our life. They're not these. Yeah, I know that I'm not trying to be. Okay, I'm gonna be mean. Like those leeches who just suck the energy out of your life. Like you love them at a distance, but leeches, once they get attached, is the problem, right? Okay, I'm gonna leave that one alone. I feel like I could just hurt some feelings this morning, right? So that song that we sang, there is joy in the house of the Lord. It's not just a clever song, but it's a deep truth, right? That the community that we're a part of, the God-focused, God-centered community that we're a part of, just helps us to maintain the right perspective, who we are, and what we're here for. We can remind each other of this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, it says this: though you have not seen him, you love him. And I love the way this starts out, because it kind of, to me, this is the way that I see this. Though I have not seen him, sometimes I go through things and I don't see God in the thing that I'm going through. Sometimes I'm struggling, I feel isolated, I feel lonely, I feel despised and rejected, right? I feel like God is not here, God is not working. How could he possibly be, or I wouldn't be going through the thing that I'm going through? Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, because that's where it's the now that gets us, isn't it? It's the now that gets all of the emotion, gets us riled up emotionally, and we're just raw and vulnerable, and that's where we're susceptible to kind of, again, being overwhelmed by the feeling. So though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. That's what I want. Like, I want a joy that is so real and so deep that no matter what happens in my life, that it is unaffected. Of course, you're going to have the emotional, you're going to be disappointed, you're going to have frustrations and all of those emotional responses, but a joy, a stability, a steel in your spine, a courage, a grace, a fierceness to attack everything that comes into your life with grace, which I think takes fierceness to do. I won't get into that. I feel like we could probably go a lot of different ways with that. But that's what I want. I want to have joy in my life. Again, sustained. It's lasting. It's not fleeting. It's not passing. But we have to choose joy. So the option is yours. The option is mine. Choose joy or continue to choose happiness. And let me just, can I help everyone out? That's not the best option here. It's like, I'm going to load it. Have you ever guys had, you had people ask loaded questions? I'm like, I feel like you're looking for a very specific response here. I'm going to load the question. I am looking for a very specific response. Are you going to choose joy or are you going to choose happiness? It's our choice. We decide, but it all depends on perspective and the company that you keep. Amen. Let me pray for us. Jesus, you're so good. We're so thankful for you. We're so thankful for a God who loves us so much that he went to the cross for us. God, not a place that we would naturally associate with joy, but it does say, God, that for the joy set before you, you endured the cross. God, it points us to this truth that joy is so much bigger than anything, than any person, than any circumstance, anything that can be done to us. Joy is something that gets deep down inside of us and is unaffected by the externalities around us, the externalities of life. God, help us to have and choose joy. God, let us be happy. God, let us enjoy the things that you've put before us. God, the things that you put in our life for us to enjoy in terms of happiness, God. But help us to understand the much larger picture, that there's so much more for us, that the little things that happen along the way, God, that they won't affect us the same way in a negative sense, God, but we will have this deep-seated joy down in our hearts. We love you. We're so thankful for you, and it's in Jesus' incredible name we pray, and everybody said, amen.